Welcome to the Content Rocks Podcast, the show about all things content.ai, .NET, and Azure for people who want to learn more about headless technology. And now, here's your host, Brian McKeever.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for once again joining me on the Content Rocks Podcast. I'm here with a very good friend of mine, Wojtek Borel, the Global VP of Marketing at Content.ai. Wojtek, how are you doing?
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me, and hello, everyone who's listening. I'm doing well. It's Tuesday afternoon, my last meeting of the day, so that's good. I can't wait to chat with you a little bit more about the rebrand.
Yeah, and that's our topic today. We're going to talk about this new brand that Content.ai has, in case you haven't seen it, if you're someone who's new to the ecosystem or maybe an existing customer who has not been paying a ton of attention. We're going to try to clear up, you know, what this brand now showcases for your company and the product, and just maybe you can give us a little insight into how the process went behind the scenes. So I'm very excited to talk about it because I know you have put so much effort into this, and so has the rest of the team. And I'll just start out with like, hey, great job by everybody, because I really appreciate the way it looks, the way it feels, and how it kind of sticks out, which is, you know, I don't want to give it too much away, but I know that was one of the goals. So also, you know, we always like to start with something that is a little bit of a fun question so people get to know you, Wojtek. We were talking a little bit before the show that you're one of the original members of the team at Content.ai, right? I mean, you've been there like since the beginning. How many years have you been there?
Oh man, too many. It's been almost 10 years, yeah. So officially we launched the team as internal startup of a different company back then in 2015. And we officially went on the market and really closed the first business and acquired first customers in 2016. So eight years plus minus.
That's amazing. I feel like you should have more gray hair like me, though. Like, you've not balanced that out yet for being there.
Brian, I must say that unfortunately I have gray hair, but my hack is that I go to the hairdresser very often. Yeah, so you always joke that every single time it's worse and worse, but I just need to go more often.
All right, well, I got to work on that a little bit, but we'll talk about more important things. So Wojtek, I know it was probably first mentioned to me almost like 9 months ago that changes were coming to Content.ai. Before we get into what the changes actually were, can you maybe set the table as to like, what's your first memory of the first discussion point around, hey, we need to maybe like change things and update the how we present ourselves, update the brand? What was that first memory like?
Absolutely. Well, that's a tricky question, Brian, because the first memory will go actually much further down to history than 9 months. Maybe let me set a bit of context for everyone. So as we mentioned at the beginning, we founded Content.ai as internal startup of a different company in 2015. And the first years were absolutely great. We were enjoying sort of startup vibe and we were innovating a lot. We were really validating all the ideas with the customers and partners. I believe back then you were one of our MVPs already. I believe you also remember the early days. Oh, yeah. And as the product was maturing, as the market was maturing, as the team was maturing, we found ourselves in a situation that the original startup was not internal startup anymore. It was a solid business. And we realized that the original company called Kentico, also on the CMS market, we are still good friends, went different directions, and we also had to choose our own direction. So 2 years ago, actually, it will be just 2 years in a few weeks, we decided to separate and establish Content.ai as a separate brand, separate legal entity, completely separated from Kentico as such. The reason why I'm talking about this story is that not only I think it's quite unique that it was internal startup, which is not so common, but also already back then when we were separating from Kentico, to be completely honest, I knew as a head of marketing, I knew that the bigger rebrand and redesign is coming. Yeah? The complexity was that as always with these big projects, we have to deliver that brand separation very quickly. Yeah? To give a bit of time frame, it was 2 years ago at the beginning of June when I could share the news to my team and we could start working on the new website and new digital presence and everything for content.ai, not content by Kentico anymore. Yeah? And we had to deliver in 5 weeks because then in early July, we were launching the announcement about the fundraising or respectively a big investment from a company and also about the spin-off from the former company. So long story short, we had 5 weeks to figure out everything. Yeah? And I knew that we couldn't do a proper rebrand in 5 weeks, plus doing a new website, plus doing all the new digital channels, plus founding new offices and blah, 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 completely separating the company. That was unreal. Yeah? And I always rather try to deliver and get things done. So what we've done back then was that we sort of did a rather refresh of the brand, yeah? And made sure that we separate also on the visual side from the former company. And just to give a bit of an example or context how we were doing it, we redesigned the logo literally in one day. I just asked a graphic designer, just bring me a couple of options. Yes, this is it. Let's go. We chose the font this way. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And we delivered. Yeah. And I knew that very well that back then we were creating sort of visual or brand identity depth. Yeah? Because you might have in the product, you have technical depth. But also on the brand, you might create the brand depth. Yeah, so I knew that back then, but I had to make do decisions in order to deliver. Yeah, so long story short, sorry that I'm going so wide, but I think it's good context that it was already 2 years ago. Then the first year passed, and we stabilized the business. We established all those legal entities and offices around the world, separated the systems and databases and everything. Took care of our customers because that's the most important, apart from these invisible things behind the scenes. And this year, or I mean this fiscal year, but really at the fall last year, we knew that it's time to rebrand completely. Yeah? So I just wanted to share that it was a bit of longer story, not just like one day last fall, I woke up and said, hey, I want a new shiny colors. Yeah?
Right. And so the 5 day period with the new look, that was basically the old sort of greenish variants of the logo and branding.
Exactly. Yeah. If you recall, we had very similar visuals in orange back then when we were part of the former company, and then we redesigned into the green vibes and sort of logo that was really refreshed, not redesigned fully.
Right. So then, in the last, since last fall, you finally got through a lot of that organizational change and update, and now kind of the chains were off and you were ready to go full on rebrand at that point.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I'm glad that we did it. I'm sure many of the people from the community know that it was quite rapid 2 years for us. So after the spin-off and after getting the external investment, we were hiring quite a lot, and we grew the company in few months from 120 to almost 200. And then, of course, there was also a bit of a slowdown on the market, so we had to a little bit slow down on hiring too, and did some reorganization. But then our current CEO, Mark Rudock, joined last summer, and I immediately felt that I will have his direct support on doing this big project, because we all know how it goes with rebrand projects. It's not always easy to quantify the impact. Sometimes you just need to decide by guts, even though you are evaluating all the data, because visual identity and brand identity is very often perceived as a very subjective thing. Yeah? And everyone wants to have their say, but sometimes you need to decide how to do that in order not to do the project for years, but rather just a few months.
Right. Well, I guess without further ado, we'll throw it up on the screen and we'll talk about it a little bit.
Absolutely.
So let me switch to this view. And what I'm looking at now is the homepage of content.ai. And, you know, this had to be a couple months ago that the website actually launched now with the
The late April. Yeah? So it's been like 7 weeks. Just to, again, set it into the timeline for everyone who's maybe considering doing the rebrand. We started chatting internally about the rebrand in November last year. And then we really kicked off the project just before the Christmas on the creativity side. So really working with external designer and external creative director to bring different variants to us. And we really started the project as such in full mode in January. Yeah, so everything was done literally hands-on between January and April. All digital presence globally. So I think I was quite satisfied with how quickly we delivered. Yeah?
So there's a question, as you mentioned, if anyone's considering this, like, do you feel that the January to April timeframe was compressed and aggressive, or do you think it was more just right, or even like way too much time? If you know, like, would you say 3-4 months is a fair amount of time to do an effort like this, or is that something you would change if you had to do it over?
That's a great question, and of course my answer is it depends. It depends on the context, it depends on your capacities, your budget, your skills in the team, and most importantly from my perspective, it depends on your goals and motivation. And to be completely honest, 4 months to deliver, including everything from ideation to prototyping to validation to delivery, it's quite tight, it's quite fast, because Content.ai is not a simple startup anymore, right? And even the website, even though it looks very minimalistic, you have so many behind the scenes integrations and so many connectors, and it's a complex project, man. So long story short, to answer your question, 4 months is definitely tight, but also one of the goals or motivations for us was to really deliver as soon as possible, because we knew, and I haven't discussed all the reasons just yet, but we knew that the rebrand is needed, and we wanted to really set our footmark, or really our footprint on the market more, because what we've seen on the CMS and DXP market in the past 2 years was that and I'm not sure if you would agree, Brian, since you are on the market from different perspective, right? From the solution implementator perspective. Yep. But we've seen that, or I personally see that traditional CMSs and DXPs and headless CMS vendors are sort of merging together when it comes to positioning and messaging. And it's not so clear anymore to the end client or to the end user who's what, because you will find that traditional CMS and DXPs are positioning sometimes themselves as headless CMSs when it's a good fit for them in campaigns or on landing pages, and then vice versa, you see headless CMSs positioning themselves as composable DXP. So everyone is trying to catch every single keyword, and in the end, we all are just confusing the market and the end user.
Right.
So really, for me, what I wanted to do was to just try to do something different and really differentiate the brand and the website from the crowd. Because actually, when we were discussing, or when we were preparing the brief with that external creative director, because we wanted to have a fresh perspective and like really think out of the box, when he was supposed to bring the first three options for us, one of the options was literally a copy of all the other CMS websites. Because one thing we did was that if we put on the screen, and I don't want to talk specifically about some of our competitors, but if you choose a random 5 to 10 CMSs and you put all the websites in browser, of course, they differentiate in the messaging and some headlines, etc. But the concept of the website is very, very similar. Basically, one of our goals, even though not everyone might like it, the dark mode and the colors and the simplistic approach, our motivation was that if someone hits up the website, they remember us. They remember the logo, even though the feelings might not be always positive. But that's also the psychology, right? So long story short, we wanted to differentiate. At the same time, we really agreed, or what we did with Mark, our CEO, was that we defined some brand pillars at the beginning that we want to follow. And one of them was that we want to do less, because less is more in some cases. And that applies to the content, I mean content with C, and also the design. So we didn't want to overwhelm the user at the beginning on the home screen with too much content, too many paragraphs, too many claims, how great we are. We just wanted to keep it super, super clean.
Yeah, and I do agree with you. Like, we have heard from customers in early conversations that, hey, I bounce between 3 or 4 different headless CMS products, and they all look the same. Like, those are words that I have heard directly from customers. So I do think that is happening in the market, to your earlier point. And, you know, as I'm scrolling down the homepage of Content.ai, I think you guys have nailed it. Like, it is a much simpler set of content with a C. You know, there's results that the platform can drive for the people who use it. There's big, bold statements, big, bold stats on the screen. I also want to ask you, like, it was a pretty far departure even in colors, right? The coloring is much different than what it was in the past. Was that something that was hard to kind of get buy-in from the team and the stakeholders?
Great question. So maybe we can talk a little bit about the stakeholder management. Again, as you asked me about the timeline, and the reason why I mentioned it depends whether the 4 months or 6 months or 12 months is right. The same, I think, applies to the stakeholder management. You need to decide very differently if you are a big corporation, or whether if you are a very agile startup, or if you are scale up as we are. The problem with the scale up when you are 100, 200 people is that already many people want to comment everything and influence everything. But at the same time, we agreed with Mark that for this project, we really want to keep that startup agility and move fast. And to be completely honest, we would never ever release such project in 4 months if we were doing some big stakeholder committees and approvals and everything. So literally what we did was that we agreed with Mark, our CEO, that there will be only 2 main stakeholders, myself and him. And we were shortlisting the first options and variants. And only when both of us and the creative director were in alignment, we only then presented to the ELT, to the executive leadership. And only when we had already the first prototypes, we introduced the new brand identity draft to the company. So of course, while we were listening the feedback from the company and here and there from the customers, we wanted to move fast. And that was the reason why we simply made some decisions to move fast and deliver. Does it make sense?
Yeah. I think that's wise, as opposed to having sort of, you know, committee after committee and paralysis around decisions that were never being made or approved, and 3 levels of approvals. And ultimately, if the people can choose a representative, like you're saying, yourself and Mark, like, I think it's a fantastic way to do it. It's something we educate our clients. In fact, I was in a client conversation yesterday and they said, well, we have, you know, 17 department heads and those 17 people need to be involved. And I basically told them, like, honestly, I think it would be better if you had a core team that was maybe 3 to 4 people. They were someone who could then message back to those department heads, but ultimately it was the 3 to 4 people who decided. I've had better success with projects that ran like that, as opposed to having, you know, 17 different stakeholders.
Absolutely. And to be honest, I think it has something to do with sometimes people being hesitant to make the decision, because sometimes the decision is good, sometimes it's bad. But if the goal is also the speed, The goal is to make decisions, right? And if something goes south, then you need to correct it. You need to fix it. And I have actually a great example. You asked about the colors. So I personally, I was very confident and satisfied with this gradient pattern that we use. We use it also in the logo. If you scroll down to the footer, the users can see one of the variants of the logo that, we use. Down to the footer, there you go. I personally love this variant, but at the same time we decided to use that orange color as a color to highlight things. So when we have some strong results, or when we have some CTA box, or when we have the menu, we used the orange color. And the first version we released of the orange was very, very aggressive on some monitors.
And I remember that.
You remember that well, yeah?
I gave you direct feedback. I'm like, that is very bold. It's almost jarring. And I loved your response to me. I mean, your response was, hey, we're doing that on purpose so that we can be different. But let's let it settle a little bit and see. And I think now maybe it's been toned down like slightly.
Exactly. So just context for everyone, even before we released that first version of the orange, of course, we did all the usability testing and accessibility testing. But sometimes there are use cases that you simply either forget to test or you can't test. And we realized that the most painful element was when people were sharing the screen with that orange from external monitors. So imagine that the color was painful even on when you were searching through the website, but it was, I think, bearable. Like you could tolerate it, even though it was very, very dominant. But when people were sharing from their external monitors, which is a sort of toning and shading we can't control, sometimes it was absolutely crazy. So long story short, we listened to the feedback, and literally within the days, we were back testing, and we actually had, again, very rapid testing. We had the graphic designer proposing four different variants, ranging from different tones of orange down to different color to be used. And again, we iterated quickly. We tested. We this time also tested external monitors and sharing. and we released the new version, which is, I think, still very dominant, but it's much easier on the eyes.
So let me ask you these two questions, because we're actually a little over in time, but I want to make sure we get to them. So in the process of going through this, can you give me maybe one thing that surprised you in a good way that you didn't really think about, but it turned out to be a fantastic result? And maybe the opposite of that is like something that was a challenge that you didn't foresee, or maybe that conversation we just had was kind of around that. But I'd love to know, like, that behind the scenes, like, you know, things that, you know, really kind of were unexpected greats, and also like, oh man, I wish I would have thought of this.
Absolutely. By the way, I know that we are over time, but the conversation is great. I would be
I agree.
Talk to you for an hour, but on the positive side, I think one of the best decisions, and we hear it from the market, from the feedback, was that if you really scroll down the whole homepage, you will realize that we really try not to talk about ourselves, but we really tell the story through the stories of our customers. I think this really helped us, because people remember us for the results our customers achieve. They don't remember us for us claiming that we are the best headless CMS in there and there and there. We are the fastest DXP and blah, blah, blah. So literally, if you scroll down the homepage, you'll find that we talk about ourselves only in the section number 4, I believe, that product wide section you just showed. If you scroll a little bit here, here we just try to talk about or start talking about the product. So this was, I think, very good and decision that led to a positive feedback. On that negative side, or rather, I would say, things to consider when doing the rebrand using headless CMS, because obviously we dogfood our own CMS, content.ai, to power the website. One of the things that are more complicated, I would say, is really the decision how to do the whole content modeling for the new website when you are developing the website from scratch. But at the same time, you have hundreds, maybe thousands and thousands of content items already existing on the old site. Right. And some of the content items you want to archive, but most likely like 70-80% of the content you still want to leverage, right? To be completely honest, in the team of, or in the size of my team, it's very, very hard and it would be too bold to do the content modeling from scratch, eh? Because that's exercise on its own. Eh? and you know it from implementing content.ai, of course. What we did was sort of a compromise. We first had developers cleaning up our content models, making sure that we have it very polished and clean in terms of the setup. And then we said, okay, let's use the current content architecture or modeling for the new websites too. But at the same time, let's be very strict on what content we release to the production, because we also wanted to follow that less is more mantra. Eh? And we realized that we don't need to publish content from 2017 when we are not confident about it anymore, right? So we rather tried to find some compromises. But this is, to be completely honest, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of implementations of headless CMS, and the content modeling part is the most underestimated phase of the project when it comes to migrating from traditional CMS to headless CMS, from my perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, I'm helping one of our co-customers who has content.ai and is a large organization go through that exact thing right now. They have a solution that they built a couple of years ago for one website, I guess, group of websites. But now they're trying to bring in many, many more and think of it as a more of a global reusable content delivery to multiple channels. And they can do that with things like collections and spaces and all that kind of good stuff that content.ai has. But they have the whole idea of, well, we have this old content model, we have a new content model. How are we going to get there? And we went through those exact like pros and cons. You can kind of go all in on something brand new. You can make partial changes to what you have. And you know, we're going to help them figure out what's the right way for them. But it's definitely a challenge that I think you don't necessarily directly line up with rebranding when you are in this scenario, like you were mentioning, Wojtek. I see that in the real world, and I can feel what you've went through for sure.
And by the way, I've experienced these challenges related to content modeling only when I became VP marketing, and I was essentially responsible in the end for that. Yeah, because in my previous roles in content.ai, I was in sales, in product, in different GTM roles, and from external perspective, it just sounds very obvious, like just do the content model, right? But in hands-on work, it's very different to deliver when there are so many complexities.
And I do know you're personally passionate about this topic. So and thank you. And you've kind of volunteered. Like, I want everyone who's listening on the show right now that if you have questions about that journey and the idea of how to handle content migration of the content model itself, Wojta is a fantastic resource. So I'm throwing his LinkedIn URL right at the bottom of the screen. And Wojta, you basically, you're happy if someone reaches out to you, right?
Absolutely. Always happy to chat either about the rebranding of the company or about the content modeling or any other headless CMS challenge or endurance sports or just life. Hit me up.
Yep. And if you didn't hear about the endurance sports that Wojta is participating in, check out the very first episode of Content Rocks. A couple years ago, we did this, you and I, to kick it off. And in that, we talked about your history with the endurance sport. So I'm going to give a call back to my own old episode. It's a fun one. And it's been great to have you back on the show. And again, a couple years later, as the podcast rolls on, we wanted to do one other thing here. So if you are curious about headless CMS, and you want to check out a fantastic one, I would definitely recommend you go and look at that, content.ai. That's the homepage that we were just going through. And Wojta, it's been fantastic. Like you said, I bet you and I could sit here and talk for easily two more hours on this topic. And maybe we'll just have to have you on again in the future. But I really appreciate you coming on. I want to congratulate you, the content.ai team, Mark, everyone involved in a great rebrand. You know, I feel like you've hit the goals of being different in the market. And I'm excited to see what the rest of the year brings for you and the team. And who knows, maybe we'll be together in some city again where we can go for a run together as well.
Hopefully, yes. Thank you, Brian, for kind words. I appreciate it. And by the way, we are indeed we are considering going back on the road and introduce some new events in the US. So hopefully we will meet each other in the US very soon.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks, Wojda. And thanks for everyone for listening. This has been the Content Rocks podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Cheers. Bye-bye.